that's why you weren't here last week as well, because people were furious. They're like, ugh, we have to listen to Gareth on his own.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh. Yeah. You know those things that you plan for as a brand when you've got like levels of severity of crisis, and there's that plan for like severe crisis, and you think that'll never happen.
Did you pull it off the shelf? You actually pulled that severe plan off the shelf. Severe is a hell of a word, hey?
It happened. Yeah. It's you don't realize how close you are to the brands that you work with until something like that happens, and you're at the forefront. You have to just manage things.
It's obviously this is obviously because Charlie Kirk was your brand ambassador.
Yeah.
You're in panic stations. All right, so listen, we've got a lot to get to today. We've got a packed show. Flex and James running the production and ready to kick some ass this morning too. I see that there's a thing. By the way, guys, I didn't know about this, but there's an actual thing on the comments section on YouTube where it ranks the top people. So it's got like, So Vyasan is currently number one. Then Bitcoin Boot, then Max Sony, then Migs, then it goes all the way down. Mapelo's at number 6.
I wonder if it ranks them according to...
Beaver's only at 9.
I have a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, so you can actually rank yourself. And what we're going to do is, I think we must compile, guys, every week a list and see by the end of the year who the number one person is on that list.
But what do you have to do to be number one?
I don't know. You just comment, you interact, you do things. So you say stuff, you attack the other people.
Is it not judging like your type of comments as well?
Or
are you just going to type?
Please, how do I know what YouTube's doing? Don't pretend. And all these people are like, I've figured out the algorithm. Yeah, sure, Mr. Beast. Keep on trying, you know? Like all these people who've got zero going on YouTube but want to tell you how to run your YouTube better.
Oh, yeah.
I get an email like that every day. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll have a ranking and every week we'll compare. And then when we get to the end of the year, we'll let the person who gets the highest ranking just basically tell us what to do for like a show. they're going to tell us exactly what guests they want, whether they want us to do it inside, outside, what we've got to wear, everything. So that's how it's going to work. All right. So there's now you've got skin in the game. All right. Let's get into some stuff because there's a lot to talk about this morning. Which week isn't there? And this is one thing I'm really enjoying. I know Vian's complaining here. He says this once a week show is cuck. He says feels like a best friend emigrating to Oz. I think we're still managing to be more interesting than anyone in Oz, and that's probably not that hard. You know, low standards. There's always news. There's so much to get to, and by Friday I've got like a list that's a page long.
Yeah, well, I mean, politically in the US, it's been a week, hasn't it?
Well, Donald Trump was in the UK, actually. He went to Windsor Castle to thank you, William and Kate. He doesn't care about any protocols. He's not like your majesty and your highness. He goes, Charles, great castle you got here. Good castle, good gardens. I like the gardens, tremendous. You know, and Charles is sort of trying, Mr. President, it's a great pleasure to have you here.
What do you think Charles really thinks of him?
I think they're all just completely, like, he puts them out of their comfort zone in every way. And, you know, the British royal family are pretty unflappable. I mean, they've got thousands of years of genetic experience of being at the top of the pile. And you would think they couldn't be caught flat-footed. But I just think Trump is, you know, when you bring that sort of confidence to things, and I know it puts a lot of people off. I mean, I've got friends and family who just, they think he's the most terrible person because he's arrogant and he's brash and he pushes people out of the way and it's all about him. But I have to remind you that when it comes to politicians, you're not looking for friends, right?
Well, he calls Charles his friend. He said, my friend, Charles.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also called Kate two words.
He should have said, I like you, sausage fingers. I like you. I like you very much. Gareth dressed like Zorro. Carlos says, I dressed like Zorro today. Yeah. Yeah, that was my first thought. I thought, what kind of like cartoon hero should I be this morning? I'll be Zorro. No, I've had this shirt for so long and I just didn't know when. And I thought this morning, yeah, that'll work. You know, when you, everybody thinks that there's a huge amount of strategy that goes into things. And anyone close to me will tell you, and you guys are pretty much, I mean, you get to see me more than almost anyone. Nothing is strategic. I genuinely make
it's just
my mind
all
up.
Very random.
Yeah, I mean, if you give me a script, I'm just useless. Mm. So if you make me sit and analyze, why are you wearing that color, or what are the top 20 things that you consider important in terms of the show's trajectory? I'm not going to know.
Although we're talking about what Trump was wearing to the dinner.
Well, that was a white tie dinner, so everybody had to wear it. So, but there's a way to wear that too. I mean, really, if you want to be particular about it, I found a video on, it popped up on my feed this week of Jan Smuts at the Rand Club, and that must have been in the 1920s or 30s, maybe the 40s. But he, when you wear a black tailcoat and a white waistcoat underneath and a white bow tie. The white waistcoat isn't meant to pop out under the sides of the black tailcoat. Mm. And you'll see, like, Charles knows how to do that, and William knows how to do that, and Trump's got this huge,
he was flapping out.
I'm here. I don't care. I look tremendous. And Melania, let me just give this woman credit, because I saw a lot of comments on social media about Melania, and she's trying to hide her eyes under all these hats and things. That woman is Jackie Kennedy plus in terms of fashion. She's, first of all, Jackie Kennedy was not an attractive woman. I don't care how you'd like to. She looked like you could park a bus between her eyes, okay? She was not, I mean,
she was quite mousy.
She was sophisticated, yes. She was intelligent, yes. She was like East Coast aristocracy in America. You know, came from a good family, the Bouviers. She was a good First Lady in every possible way. She made the White House a home, which it hadn't been. She redecorated it. Big deal, because the White House needs to look like something. And, a lot of Americans don't have any taste. Mm. So she did a good job in many respects. She was extraordinarily dignified when they killed her husband. And she did all the right things, and the whole world felt for her. And I think that put her in a category that just makes it very difficult for other first ladies, including Betty Ford, who was an alcoholic, to even come close.
But I don't think you could ascribe as much as you have to Jackie O right now that you could do the same with Melinda. What's her name?
Melania. You see, you don't even know her name. You don't even care.
There's not much.
No, but if you're going to, as people have done for hundreds of years now, if you're going to judge women by the way they dress, and we were talking about me dressed like Zorro this morning, and I clearly don't care. And for guys, it's easy. Guys don't, if you wear a red tie, they think this. If you wear a blue tie, that. If you're too formal, then there's a problem. If you're too informal, there's a problem. But guys, nobody cares. With women, and particularly, they used to do this with every outfit that Nancy Reagan, Barbara Bush, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, Melania Trump. Every outfit they wear, they're trying to work out what they mean. Mm. I mean, there is some kind of coding in that, and there are people who've written books about this stuff. Mm. What I want to say is that Melania Trump is, apart from being an extremely attractive woman, and I don't know, she's one of those people, I can't tell you what her age is. She could be 40, she could be 50, she could be 60. You don't know, right? But she looks immaculate, and she has a tremendous sense of style, and she was a model, and she was, long before she met Donald Trump, gracing the front pages of magazines all over the world. So let's not be unkind just because she's married to Donald and we don't like his politics, because that's what a lot of people are being mean for.
And she doesn't like him.
Again, people say that. But, they got off the helicopter. I don't watch these two like a hawk. But I saw a clip again on Instagram of Donald Trump and Melania getting off Marine One, the helicopter, and then walking down the steps. He holds her hand. He reaches out for her and holds her hand. You got William and Kate standing there, terrified, like all English people.
No PDA.
Yeah, of course. No public displays of affection. But I got to say, she's immaculate. She dresses perfectly. She maintains it. You've never seen her like cackling like Hillary. You've never seen her act out in public. You've never seen her. People are trying to interpret all the time
but
what she means.
To me, that's like really vacuous. I can't attach anything to her. I have no idea who she is or what she's like.
When you're in her position. No, but when you're first lady, it's about what you do. You shouldn't be seeking attention for yourself, which she certainly doesn't. You know, it's the same reason I like Queen Camilla. She may be frumpy to some people, but again, she's not looking for the attention.
She could be replaced by a plastic doll.
Maybe
there's nothing else there.
Maybe. Okay, maybe that's the maybe you want someone you can identify with. But you don't elect
just the way you're speaking about her now.
You don't elect a first lady. She and
what she
Camilla.
Looks like. There's nothing.
That's perfect because then they, you know, if you're going to walk a line where you have to do, and she's got all kinds of programs, she's trying to help kids, she's doing, the first lady's office does like feel good stuff. But she's not the one you elected. You don't want to have a relationship with her in terms of being the broad public. And she, frankly, might not want to have a relationship with the public. I mean, she's probably not that interested in being first lady. It's just because her husband was elected. So she's like, ah, fuck, here we go again. What I want to say is she does the job really well. So, I don't know.
By looking nice and keeping quiet.
Yes. Okay. Like children should be seen and not heard, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's see what's going on here. I do want to refer to a comment that one of our number one commenters, Bitcoin Butt, made here. He's doing his bread baking. You know, he bakes bread. He's brought us some before. It's terrific. He's got one complaint. He went to do some marketing at a lodge in Irini, and the head chef loved his bread and wants to order, but apparently the procurement department at a lodge, they have a procurement department. Let me tell you, the only reason we have procurement departments in this country is because everyone is so corrupt.
Yeah, isn't it? Like important when you're dealing in arms and things like that, but not necessarily bread.
or government, you know, kind of state-owned businesses.
Yeah.
You know? Then because there is public money being dispersed, you need a procurement department. Now every company's got one, including little guest lodges, which is just outrageous. I mean, if you go to a place and they've actually employed someone to be their head of procurement, I would just say get the hell out of there in the first place. But apparently, the procurement department wants his BEE certificate. Now, Bitcoin Butt owns his bakery because it's in his fucking house. He makes his own bread. What on earth does a little lodge, even if it's a fancy lodge, what business do they have asking him for that? Mm. That's just stupid. And let me tell you, these are like the people who used to enforce those COVID rules. Mm. Remember when your neighbors would start telling on each other? Because someone wasn't wearing a mask in the street. Remember those people? Those terrible, awful people who wanted to get other people into trouble? Like, I want to be buddies with the government. I'm going to be teacher's pet and tell on.
Tattletales, yeah.
Those are the worst people in the universe. So if you are in a company, and I'm going to be very direct about this, if you work for a company and it's a small company, small, medium-sized enterprise, we all need each other. Those are the companies that are keeping this country alive. Mm. If you fall for this crap and you do the government's dirty work for them by asking for this stuff, and don't say to me, oh, but it's the law. Come on. You're buying bread, for heaven's sake. The government has no business interfering in who you buy bread from.
I mean, the government already interferes in bread.
And fuck it up. Everything they touch turns to shit. Just this week, someone was telling me the Department of Labor came to visit them at their offices. Now, you may think the Department of Labor have got their hands full because these are the people who are meant to make sure that we have, people in jobs would be a start. And we have the highest unemployment rate in the world. There was a woman going around checking that the fire hydrants in this office were all serviced. Now,
but imagine how stupid they would have looked. We could be sitting here having the same conversation with you saying because the Labor Department couldn't send somebody out to fix a fire hydrant, that entire building burned down. That's how useless they are.
Sure, you could say that, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
At least they've got something basic done.
If that's, if you can scratch that off on your job card for the day and you can be like paid some outrageous because all of their – I think that anyone in government should be paid the average national wage. That's it. If
you, it's a service.
You go into government because you want to serve the people. If you think you're better than that, go and work in the private sector. But you should be paid the average national salary, which, by the way, is not great. It's between 6,000 and 8,000 rand. Okay? So that's really not – that's not a lot to live on. In fact, I don't know how anyone could. If you work in government, that's what you should be paid, especially if you're a minister or a, you know, the proper political appointments. I know that we need specialists in some places, so we can make exceptions. But if you're a Department of Labor person going to check on businesses that they're not doing their job, I mean, these people are, in spite of you as government, managing to stay alive. Don't complicate this. We don't need you, thank you. You know, there are plenty of things we need in this country. One of them is not you, the Department of Labor, coming to inspect. You're making me allergic, you see. When we talk about government too much, this is what happens. All right. Let's see what else is in the comments before we get into some news. I often go through the same. I'm a one-man business, says Tracy. I make my own coffee, answer the phone, do my own admin. I take the photos. I refuse to give companies a BE certificate. P.S. I don't have one. Well, you know, you shouldn't. And really, I just don't – I'm not encouraging people to break the law and to lie and to make up fake stuff. But we know that there are companies that are doing window dressing all the time, right? And that is doing way more damage to talented black people in this country than BEE is. And BEE is bad enough because most of it is really people just trying to comply with the law rather than actually trying to empower people. So it's not doing what it's meant to do. We've discussed this before. I've lost 15 kilograms, says Ruth, since mid-July. I've been eating less and exercising day by day. Ooh. Excellent. I do have to warn you, and I saw this on the internet yesterday. Can we show everybody that warning about what you should not do if you want to be healthy? Yeah, look at this, everybody. I've been saying this for ages, Leanne. I've always said, only the evil man runneth when nothing is chasing him. And look at this. Study reveals, of course, this is not the show if you want me to give citations, right?
Yes.
Study reveals men who run daily have up to 41% lower testosterone than men who don't train at all. Ta-da.
Oh, that's interesting.
So for guys.
What about your book?
What, my Eat Less, Run More book?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's for obese.
I mean, this puts that to shame now.
No. Obese people, they must do everything they can to lose the weight.
Lower testosterone. Hmm.
Yeah. And let me tell you, that's a big problem at the moment. Mm. You know about that, right?
Well, I mean, I know it's even important for women to have testosterone.
Yeah, well, a little bit. I mean, there's some women who have too much.
But guys
in 2025 have very low testosterone compared to every generation of men who came before. So
then I wonder if, sure, well, that's interesting. Maybe more people are running.
Patrick says, oh, God, I run every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you might as well change your name to Patricia now. Mm-hmm. Goon says that is bollocks. 40%. Well, I'm not the one who...
I mean, you could have put that together yourself Canva.
I wouldn't know how. You know I can't do that. I don't even know how to use Excel. I still don't know how to use Excel.
Well, I still battle with Excel. I tried to add two numbers together last night. And I just...
On Excel?
I couldn't.
No, why? Why are you...
I was working out a till slip thing.
When people send me an Excel, you know, it took me, I still don't know. You know, they send you Excel and then they're different tabs. Mm-hmm. But they would send me something on email. I'd open it up, it would open in Excel, and then the first page would be blank and I'd go, this whole thing is blank.
Meanwhile,
they're like 10 tabs of like financial. Yeah, and I had no idea. So I would just pretend I'd seen them even though I hadn't. So for about 3 years, I was just going, oh, yeah, the numbers look good. And no idea. Don't ask me to look at that stuff. Okay, and then Patrick says, I was verbally attacked when I came back from the beach with my surfboard during COVID. I laughed at them saying, what are you going to do? You see, that's what you should do. And if people want to do business with you, we've got to go back to the place that we were at, where if I want to trade with you, it involves no one else. I'll say to you, you know what? I'm selling cups. You need cups. How much are you willing to pay? This is how much it costs me to make it. I need to make a certain amount. Let's be honest with each other. Let's try to figure out a way that you can get the cups you need at a price that's reasonable for you, and I can make a little bit of money for making the cups, right? Yeah. I mean, this is straightforward.
It's trade free, 101.
Well, it's free market. And if you don't like it and you think my price is too high, you could walk away. And if I think that you're trying to gouge the price out of me, then I can walk away. Nobody's compelled. The moment you get government involved, all of that changes because suddenly they can play a role and they can interfere and they can set a price or they can decide whether a good is necessary or not. I don't like that. I really don't. So let's keep them out of business. It's the only way to make business work. And we know that the companies that are complying with this stuff are doing it because lawyers in the companies are telling them you have to, right? And they're afraid of getting caught and being taken to court by government for not complying with the rules. So what you need to do is you need to trade with people who can help you to have as little government in your life as possible. And if you're a big corporation, well, I'm sorry for you, but you guys have been in bed with government for ages anyway, and trade unions and God knows whoever else. So you made your bed, lie in it. Excel has sheets, not tabs. Tabs are in your browser.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. True.
Okay, thanks,
whatever.
Sean. Fucking Excel nerd. I hope Sean's not rated high on the list here. Let's just check. No, he's right down.
Just ban him.
Sean's all the way down at, I think he's at 16. Oh, how embarrassing. Anyway, that's your problem to deal with now, Sean. So let's look at a couple of things that are happening in the world. I see Candace Owens is in the news again. Okay, Candace Owens is the one who has been saying for the longest time that Brigitte Macron is a man. That's her most famous contribution to the... Now, I used to think that she had some sensible things to say. You know, she's very conservative, which most South Africans are, so that would appeal to most South Africans. They're also religious, God-fearing people. You know, I'm not religious, but I kind of like some of the things that Candace used to say, and I'm talking about maybe 3 years ago. That was the last time I really checked in. Then she went on this mad tear about, she's basically just a massive anti-Semite. She blames everything on the Jews. She sees like her phone battery dies and she's like, the Jews. She's crazy. And not just that, because the Brigitte Macron thing, I don't think has, you know, we all like to joke about it, and maybe Brigitte is hurt by these things. I couldn't care less about her feelings. She married a politician. But if you're going to make these kinds of, you know, outrageous claims deserve outrageous evidence. And she's put this documentary together. Some people think it's excellent. I have not seen it. I'll admit that. I still have not watched it. She's been producing lots of children with her husband, which is fine, which is great. But I think maybe she's been putting herself under a lot of stress because she's saying some things that just do not make her look like she's still got her head screwed on right. I mean, she's been going on. She was an actual friend of Charlie Kirk's, but she's now trying to position him. She's saying that this is a conspiracy. There's so much that's happening here that just does not redound in her honor and to her credit. So I don't know what to make of her, but she's back in the news. And apparently the French, the president, Emmanuel Macron, and his wife, they're going to offer scientific evidence that Brigitte is not a man, which is just, this is so embarrassing and hilarious, right?
Yeah.
Whatever happens here, it's just going to be fun to watch.
I mean, if they're doing it out of humor, then that's fine. But
yeah,
if they feel they really have to prove.
Yeah. I've got to tell you about this, though. ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel. You know that?
Yes, I wanted to know your opinion on that.
Well, let's tell everybody the story first. So he was suspended, the show was suspended after he did a Monday monologue this week, inaccurately linking the suspect to conservatives, to MAGA Republicans. You know, they've arrested the guy. He turns out to be in love with a trans guy or trans girl, I can never remember which one's correct, who's also a furry. He was a big gamer. He had like plenty of furry porn.
Wait, what's furry?
Furries are humans who dress like animals.
Oh.
They have like a tail, or they have like ears, or they wear a, you know, like carnival costume, I suppose. And then they get turned on by that. It's like their thing. It's like, ooh, show me how you try to lick your asshole kind of thing. Whatever it is. Because I don't know what would. I mean, you know, like a dog does. That's the only thing I can think of that. I mean, why would you want someone to dress up like an animal?
I've seen
and
it.
Then they and then they make them like
dress up
drink
like
from
as cows, and
yeah, they drink from the bowl, or they, you know, I don't know if it's linked to the whole leash thing as well, because
yeah,
people
it's that and being in the control thing.
I don't know. Anyway, this guy was clearly disturbed, but he's also clearly from the left because he'd inscribed on the bullets things like "die fascist" and. Mm. You know, the kind of stuff that only leftists have. And clearly his politics was of the left. Jimmy Kimmel goes on and says, the MAGA Republicans are trying to distance themselves as if this guy wasn't one of them. He clearly was not. So Jimmy Kimmel was wrong and not funny, which are good reasons to not have a show on late night TV in America anyway. If you're always wrong, and he's been wrong a lot, he's got a serious problem with, like so many Americans, Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm.
But that is accepted.
He's got a whole team behind him. How did they get that right?
I don't know. They just really got it wrong. And then he's never funny anymore because late night TV, as Colbert has demonstrated, as Kimmel has demonstrated, even Fallon to some degree, it's not entertainment anymore. It's political commentary. And there's enough of that on the internet, right? So I'm against people being fired for their opinions. So if Jimmy Kimmel wants to say something, even if it's something horrible, and I know this might surprise some people, I don't think you should fire him. And I don't think the government should get involved. If there is enough social blowback and people are pissed off enough that they say cancel the show and the company that owns the show decides to can it, well, then what can you do? They need to stay in business. There's all kinds of interference, though, by FCC Chairman Brendan Carr, who suggested potential regulatory action because the group that it belongs to, Nexstar Media Group, are trying to buy up some other companies, and then they need FCC approval. That's the Federal Communications Commission, for those who don't know. So the minute you get government involved, again, like with small businesses, I get a little bit nervous, whether it's the side I agree with or the side I don't agree with. So Jimmy Kimmel was cuck anyway. They needed to can his show. But this is a bad excuse to do it because now you're turning him into like a free speech martyr when all you needed to do was just let him die because his ratings were crap anyway. So he was going to die on TV. You know, his show was going to fall apart in any case. And you didn't need to make a fuss of it. Same with Colbert. I mean, they're giving him like a whole year to run out the clock on this show of his. I don't think anyone's going to care by the end of this year. But
is that when it ends?
Yeah, when they can position themselves as being, I'm a free speech hero fighting the evil Donald Trump and his fascist government, you're giving them an excuse. So
do all talk show hosts in the U.S. lean that way? I mean, it was the same with Ellen.
Yeah, they do. Well, it's just the media in general in America all lean that way because that's what all their friends do. It's a bubble. You know, it's like if you only talk to people you agree with all the time, which I try really hard not to do, you will have a bubble of people around you. And your social circle depends on those people. If you had a different point of view, you couldn't eat in the same restaurant as them because someone will come around and admonish you. You know, it's very cultish.
So then what – so MAGA people, let's call them that.
Yeah.
I hope I don't –
No, go
fired.
On. No, go on. You're not going to get fired.
Then what do they just not watch all the top talk shows?
Well, nobody's watching them. Those shows' ratings are in the toilet. But if you host those shows, you're talking to rich, liberal, white elites on the coasts. Mm. Those are the people who still watch you and go, oh, these guys have really got their finger on the pulse, and they don't. I mean, you know, you often walk into a conversation and you realize that somebody just can't read the room. That the landscape has changed. You see this often with people who, you know, in this country will talk longingly of, you know, the Mandela era. And they can't tell that the ground has moved. that we now have people who actively seek to rewrite history because they think Mandela was a sellout. You know, the EFF people, for example. Mm. And then you get people on the other side who never really had any respect for Mandela anyway. And then the ones in the middle are going, but he was like the father of our nation. And they can't read each other. So you have this group of people who actually don't understand the group of people in the middle, and these ones don't. It's like when you talk to Siri, and Siri goes, "I'm sorry, I didn't get that." That's kind of what it's like in America at the moment. Hmm. So again, I'm a bit of a free speech guy. I don't like anyone being fired for what they say, even if what you say is wrong, and even if your opinion is outrageous. I do think that if you're going to revel in and glory in and celebrate a cold-blooded murder, I think you're just an evil person. And I think it then is probably necessary for other people and business to disassociate from you. If you're actively celebrating a cold-blooded assassination, even if it's someone you don't like or don't agree with, I do think you're allowing us to judge you differently.
Yeah.
You know, if you say, "I don't agree with Charlie Kirk on abortion or on civil rights or on gun laws," that's all good and well. And maybe you found him hostile, which I mean, I can't believe, having watched some of his videos, and there are so many now that are coming out where he, you know, the audience will be booing someone who's clearly gender binary, gender non-binary or gender fluid or whatever. And he'll say, "Hold on, give them a chance." You know, and he'll debate very vociferously, and he'll have a point of view, and he's strident about his point of view in the clip, and then that person is strident too, and they have a conversation which teaches us something. It's not really about who wins, but you learn things about how that side thinks, about how this side thinks. That was good. You may consider that to be like hostile, and some people did, but if you actively celebrate someone's murder, I don't think that's so great. You know, I mean, nobody on the left in America would have been going, yeah, George Floyd, I like that he died. No one would say that. I'm thrilled that he's dead. Yeah, dead. Yeah, you should be dead. I mean, that's what people are saying in places like Blue Sky, which I've got to admit I've never been on. But people screenshot it and then they share it in other places. And it's very upsetting. So that's going on. I'm not going to shed any tears for Jimmy Kimmel. I don't think he should have been fired because I don't like the idea that free speech in any way is curtailed. He wasn't celebrating anyone's death, but he was getting it wrong. Therefore, I think social pressure comes to bear and he's unfunny and they can get rid of him. But don't fire the guy because he said something that's wrong. So apparently, just going back to Brigitte and Emmanuel Macron, the couple plans to submit, this is news, come in just now, submit scientific evidence and other documentation, including images of Brigitte with her children, to prove the claim false.
Oh, man. If it was in humor, it would be really funny. Like, if they did a gender reveal party with a cake or something.
Yeah, that would be funny. I mean, if you want to take the wind out of the sails of the other side.
Make it funny.
Yeah, you're like, all right, it's time for us to see penis or vagina.
Yeah.
And you have like a game show set up and music and, you know, you ask her to perform tasks like, I don't know.
Sewing.
Yeah.
And like, hammering like, things.
Yeah, seriously masculine or feminine things. It'll be hilarious. Gareth, when Eusebius died, you said he was fat and useless. I didn't celebrate his death. I didn't say I'm so glad he's dead. I said that he was a terrible influence on politics in this country, and I'm sure that his family mourned, and I was very clear about the fact that I could not say I was sad, but I was not celebrating his death. And in fact, you'd be hard-pressed to find any example of me glorifying political violence of any kind. Remember, he died, he wasn't assassinated, so it wasn't a political thing. I don't think... Again, you can go and trawl through hours and hours of stuff if you'd like. I don't think I've ever celebrated political violence of any kind.
You've never sung Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
No, that I have. Often when witches die, that's, you know, that's the appropriate song. And if the Wizard of Oz can make a song like that, then why can't I sing it? Sounds like an opportunity, Gareth. Time to hire Kimmel as a third producer.
Oh, my word.
Used to love the late night shows 15 years ago, says Mo Rabbit. They all became very lame and politically narrow, one after the other. Yeah, that's how most people in America feel. I mean, for example, I think that currently Fallon's got the highest ratings. He's got about 3.5 million people who tune in on the average night, which is not bad, you would think. But when Jay Leno or David Letterman were doing that show, before social media and before you had phones that could get you onto YouTube at the drop of a hat, and you had millions of content creators all over the world, those shows were pulling in like 15 to 20 million viewers a night.
Yeah, because there was nothing else.
So times have changed, but the shows have got lame. They feel like a bit of a throwback. You know, the band, the guest comes on and sits down. That kind of thing. It feels a bit like old school. And you've got them doing skits, like sketch comedy.
Playing games.
Yeah, it feels a bit old school. All right. 360 million people in the US and only 2 million are watching Kimmel, Dead in the Water. Yeah. You could say that. I mean, by comparison, I remember when we did the final show of Idols in the last season I was on, we had 14 million people watching that. That was in the world of social media. That was in the world of competitive television. You know, they were still commissioning lots of shows. And we had 14 million in that episode, which is more than those huge high-budget productions in New York like Kimmel and Fallon and Colbert are. That's way more. So, and that's South Africa, where we have a much smaller market. So embarrassing, yes. All right, let's get into it. We've got some other stuff to talk about. So Leanna's got something to tell us about, which I think is fascinating. Apparently, there are parents who've won a court battle to claim damages after their child was killed by a leopard in the Kruger National Park. So hold your judgment until she's told us the whole story.
Yes, hold your judgment, because
I immediately took the I took the leopard's side, I got to admit.
Yeah, one tends to.
All right, what do we got?
But no, this was actually an employee of Sandparks. He was living in the staff quarters, and his wife and child came to visit. And the toddler was following him as he was walking back to his camp. He heard screams, and his toddler was in the mouth of the leopard already. And they did take the child to hospital after the leopard left the child in the bush, but the child died. And his argument was, I was firstly off duty. Sandparks was like, and I must just check if it is Sandparks.
I think it
the
is.
The Kruger National Park.
Yeah, so it's run by them.
Okay, Kruger National Park. Mm-hmm. Said it was an on-duty thing. It was risk of the job. But no, the judge eventually ruled and said, in fact, I liked his, I'm just sorry, I have to go to read a view so that I can get past all these ads. I just want to get to his quote.
Now, said, these ads are such a pain. Are they coming up on your phone all the time now too?
But also when I'm reading news, I don't want that.
Ugh.
If the person that was attacked and killed by the animal was a visitor and not the child of the first plaintiff, would the defendant escape liability? In my view, the answer is a resounding no, he said.
Well, because you sign those indemnity forms, don't you, when you drive into a place with wild animals? You have to fill in those forms.
Yeah.
And you basically, if you read the – nobody reads them. But if you're eaten by lions – and I see that Kevin Richardson case is still going on too.
Mm.
You know, the guy who's the lion and what is it called? Rhino and Lion Park or whatever. Someone got eaten. Again, I don't mean to make light of this, but that's kind of what wild predatory cats do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear about this story. I'm sorry that we've never heard about it before.
It happened in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even occur to me that this had happened that long ago. And if it was a staff member and his kid was just like doing what he's doing in the quarters where he's supposed to not have leopards, that's a problem, because they could have
leopard apparently scaled the fence, which hadn't happened before.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, they're unpredictable.
Look, that's the leopard.
Animals. It's a leopard.
Okay, it's not the one. It's no, not the, you know, the child-killing
I don't know what happened leopard. To the leopard, but we can all imagine.
They probably shot it, hey?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because we have less leopards than human children. But, of course, I'm not saying that we should have to put them one up against the other. I just believe, like, if you're going to hang around with wild animals, there is a certain amount of this, and obviously this doesn't apply to kids. I don't want anyone to get the wrong end of the stick here. There's a chance that these animals, because they're wild, will do what wild animals do.
Mm.
That's a lot more predictable than human behavior. And I'm sure that the court went over all the evidence, and if they decided to award damages, I hope it helps the family to get over this tragedy. At the same time, maybe that job's not for you if you are worried this might happen again. Because there are certain, you know, every job carries a risk. Am I right?
Yeah, and you can say things like, why would he let his toddler come and stay with him at the park? But we take
he probably lives there. His family lives
to the park all the time.
His family probably live with him, so that's not unreasonable. And yes, maybe the park has some liability here. I get it. So, all right. I mean, I hope that that money helps them get over it. Apparently, have you seen they're launching the new iPhone 17 or whatever it is? Yeah, but this one, have you seen it, guys? It's like super thin. Yeah, it's super thin, but then obviously it's got the camera stuff.
Yes.
You know, which sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do about that, obviously, because it takes up space.
I'm really not that into tech anymore.
Really?
I was driving once and I saw an advert.
Leanne's still
on a digital billboard.
So Leanne's on an iPhone 5.
No, I was.
Are you?
I was. No, this is a 16, I think.
Okay.
15.
Oh, then you're better than me. Yeah, go on.
And it was a digital billboard, so video. And it was a stovetop.
Stove.
A really beautiful stovetop.
Yeah?
And then it kind of zoomed out.
But it wasn't. It was the camera.
It was a phone.
It was the camera on the back of the phone, yeah.
That's a lovely stove.
Yeah, but Leanne, I mean, you know, we are from the 70s.
Yeah, this is true.
You know?
You could mistake a stove for a phone.
All right, well, we're going to talk to Dr. Hanan in a bit too, but we also have a celebrity appearance from Ben this morning, who's just freshly returned from Thailand, where, by the way, he scored an immaculate birdie, and you've got to go and watch his social media. If you aren't following Ben on his Instagram, you've missed out here, because he had these little Asian women walking with him, dressed in funny hats that are like bigger in the front and smaller at the back. And he went onto this hole where there's a fake Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Oh, yes.
And he birdied it.
Like a big-sized one or like a mini-sized.
I'm posting that to Instagram today. It is a life – like, wow.
So good.
Guys, this week has been incredible. But yeah, Leanne, there's this place called Toscana Valley in Thailand, and they've built their own Leaning Tower of Pisa. They've built their own Tuscany. but not like a Monte Cassino four ways way. It's like they've built it like it would have been built. And it's perfect. And people live in it.
Oh, wow.
And it's got a little lean to it.
Oh, it's quite something.
Wow, there's money out there, hey? And they're doing such cool things. This place was phenomenal.
All right.
Mind blowing. Amazing week.
I wasn't even sure you'd be here this morning because I know you said you were, but I never believe anybody anymore.
And
I
thought, believe me.
Because you were there yesterday, it feels like. And
yeah, I'm tired, but I'm here.
Yeah, you made
and
it.
I'm excited about being here.
All right. Okay. You find a Thai wife?
I wasn't really looking, but I mean,
not?
I wouldn't knock it.
No.
Thai women are actually really beautiful. Thai people are just lovely.
Sure.
I just think, like, if you're not booking a trip to Thailand in the next 2 years, like, what are you actually doing with your life? Life makes so much sense there. It's happy. The food's good. Chang's, when cold, are great. There's so much to do.
Sounds awesome.
And people just get on with their stuff,
yeah? Yeah.
No one's begging. No one's to get the poor me situation.
Yeah.
Everyone's just getting on with their stuff. And as a tourist, it's actually, like, I've been there 3 times prior to this trip, and I had 3 great times. But then I went in, like, my debauched 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I did 2 relationship trips in my 30s. And this trip to me felt like I was doing it all again for the first time.
Wow.
Everything was new. we spent a day in Bangkok. That's another video I'll put out today. We spent a day in Bangkok where, again, it's so hard to kind of relate how cool the place was. Like, went to all the temples. We did the fun sort of normal things.
You went on your period, were you? Because you can't enter the temple when you're on your period.
Thankfully, Leanne, and yeah, still no female reproductive organs either.
Yeah.
On top of that.
You wore some pretty outrageous outfits. In fact, Audrey says in the comments here, she clearly follows you already, the new Thai outfits, are they still in the wash? Because they were great. You got to wear them.
Traditional Thai outfits?
I got home last night to a blown up power station
in
my neighborhood. So I don't have power for like 2 weeks now, which is a really cool comeback to reality.
No, it's just so great.
But yeah, they will be washed. They will be worn again. Maybe on this very show.
Yeah, so that'll be nice.
Oh, I wouldn't. I mean, the one was quite traditional. The other one was like tourist traditional. You know, you go to the temples, you can't wear like funny pants and shorts. So, and it's so hot there. So you get these like little light things.
Yonder says, I've been following Ben every day. What a treat and adventure.
Yeah, it was, guys. It was so great.
There we go.
I love going to the top of tall buildings. You know, Bangkok's got more rooftop bars than any other city in the whole world.
Damn.
And you can't walk more than 167 meters without getting to a 7-Eleven, which stocks your next cold Chang, obviously.
Very good.
It's got the biggest Chinatown in all the world outside of actual Chinese towns, obviously.
All right.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. And then we drove 3 hours to Koh Yai, this area which has got winelands. They make their own wine. This one place we went to, it was like... There's an airstrip, there's horses, there's mini ponies, it's Rancho Chanvi, and it's all done so beautifully. Like, I'm not a fan of gimmicks and recreations and those kind of things.
Yeah, I think pastiche always, stuff.
Yeah. But this, like, inch by inch, it was just perfect. And, like, it's tropical, and the golf course is phenomenal, though. There's another thing about these trips. Sometimes you go to resort courses, and they're resort courses. Like, you'll play them, you have a few beers, you're happy. These courses were good. Like, really good. This Toscana Valley course was just unbelievable.
So somebody here says, Vincent says, Ben, that is a naughty, naughty golf course getting pampered by your lady caddies.
Well, yeah. She.
Do they offer you extras?
No.
Oh, okay. This is Vincent.
Vincent.
Do they polish your balls?
Vincent, you are the problem. You too, Leanne. Yeah. Like, Thailand's got a reputation for certain things, right? And if you're an adult and a consenting one at that and you want to go that path, you can do that kind of stuff in Thailand. But otherwise, it's not actually out there in the open. Nobody was like soliciting me or doing anything.
Yeah.
It's a good, clean, healthy, fun place.
All right.
All the other shit you hear about chicks with dicks, all that kind of stuff, it's like any city in the world. If you want to find that stuff, you will find it. It's out there.
Yeah.
But in the whole time that I was there, and in previous times where I haven't looked for that, it's never been apparent like, oh, this is what this country is famous for.
All right, well, I'm going to stop you there because we've got to get to Dr. Hanan. You know, we have our weekly appointment. Yes. This is very important for our mental health.
That's why I'm here early today.
Yeah, mental health. Yeah, of course. You should be here early because, I mean, you wouldn't get an appointment with Dr. Hanan if you tried. The man is busy.
This is it.
So we're going to talk to him today. I have found, Dr. Hanan, I found the most stupid thing in the world this week, and I want to hear your opinion on this. You know, people are always inventing new terms to describe, like, sad people who are constantly doing like personality tests on themselves because they think they're so fascinating. They've come up with this term called otrovert.
So have
you seen this?
No.
Okay, so you're either an introvert or an extrovert by the old maths. Then they came up with ambivert, which means you go between the two, which sounds like pretty much everyone I know. Mm-hmm. Now there's an otrovert. So let me give the definition before Dr. Hanan weighs in on this. An otrovert is a newly defined personality type coined by psychiatrist Dr. Rami Kaminsky, no relation to Ben Karpinski, who, despite being social, feels like an outsider and is not interested in group validation or conformity.
Wait, I can't even get that into my head.
So you feel like an outsider, even though you're social, and you're not interested in group validation or conformity.
It's far too complex.
Ah, it's such bullshit. I mean, this sounds like an astrology chart. Like, you know when they say, you're a Virgo, so you're a really nice person.
So I think people are just really bored and they need to come up with terms to explain how other people react and how people behave. We have a need to predict other people's nature, so we come up with terms to help us predict what they're going to be doing next. But I also have not heard of it, so I had to do my own research. And the difference between obviously an extrovert and an introvert is an introvert obviously recharges on their own, an extrovert recharges through other people, and an introvert has a need and they recharge when they're different. So they have a need to be different. So think of an introvert as Bill Gates and think of an introvert as Steve Jobs. Think of an introvert as Bruce Wayne and the introvert as the Joker. There's a deep need to be different. They rebel against the common way or the popular way that other people behave. They need to be different. And as much as they think that they are different and they're not controlled by anybody, they're just controlled by the popular narrative. So they're controlled by the way it works anyway, because the moment the popular narrative changes, they have to shift with it. So they are completely controlled. As much as they feel independent, they're completely controlled by the popular narrative.
I mean, I saw this as an additional kind of part of the description of what these introverts are meant to be, that they're perpetual outsiders. So they consistently sense being on the margins of any group or environment. I mean, ask any guy or girl in high school. That's how they feel all the time, right? Yeah. Ask, Leanne comes on the show, she feels like that, even though she's been on it with me for like 15 years. I feel like that a lot. I'll walk into a room of people and go, ooh, I feel like an outsider. But that doesn't mean I'm perpetually living an introvert. And here's another part of this definition that confuses the hell out of me. That's why I think it sounds like astrology, you know, where they try to play both sides of so they say they're meek rebels. They don't seek to cause trouble, but will stand up for their inner moral compass and challenge the status quo when necessary. Now, let me just...
It's like, what are you? You either are or you aren't.
A meek rebel. Like, no one's ever noticed any of those people in all of history. Because if you're a rebel and you don't make your voice heard, who cares what your inner voice is?
A meek rebel would probably meek be rebel. That person who goes through the orange robot. It's still orange, but they could have stayed back.
Like you, when you got your E-tag from the...
They were just being very conformist.
Yeah, you did. Leanne got one of those tags when they were trying to charge us e-tolls. But Doc, I mean, a lot of this shit, you're right. It's like people just trying to be important. How long do you think it'll be before we medicate introverts?
About 3 minutes. They've already come up with a whole array of medication for them.
So do you believe in any of these kind of inclinations? You said in your definition and your understanding, introverts recharge on their own, extroverts recharge around people. But aren't we all a bit of both all the time?
That's great. Have you ever heard of the term the Barnum effect?
No.
So Phineas Barnum, P.T. Barnum, the greatest
the circus
showman.
Guy. Right.
Exactly. So he ran this very successful circus. It was run post his death for 150 odd years, the greatest show on earth, and he became known as the greatest showman. And one of his greatest shticks, the thing that brought people from all over the world to come and watch the great P.T. Barnum, is he would invite people up on stage. And within a couple of seconds of meeting them, he would just reveal things about them that they've never revealed to anybody else. This is what you've done. This is where you've been. These are the skeletons in your closet. And people were blown away, like a modern day mentalist. And that's what people came to from all over the world to watch the great P.T. Barnum. Right. So when I go to corporate workshops, listen to this. So I do something very similar. I bring people up onto stage and I ask them for a sample of their signature. I've never met them. And all I say to them is, I'm going to take your signature, I'm going to analyze it, and I'm going to come back with a full report about who you are and what you've done and where you've been. And people are very cynical. Yeah. Anyway, I come back and they all line up on stage and I give them their own private and confidential envelopes and they open it up in front of everybody and their reaction is insane. People can't believe that I reveal such deep and intimate things. But what they don't know is that I don't look at their signature and everybody on stage gets exactly the same report. As a matter of fact, I make the one swap with the other and they're like, no, I can't, this is my life. But when they actually read somebody else's report, they see that it's verbatim, word for word, exactly the same. I've been using the same report for 20 years because I use a psychological trickery called the Barnum effect. Yeah. And the Barnum effect is if you give people generalized statements that apply to human nature, people find really unique ways to fit themselves into that statement, like a horoscope that you were mentioning earlier. So here's the Barnum statement. You wear a mask in public. And people are like, I do. How do you know that? But you know who else does? Everybody else. I'll give you some other ones. You have the fear of failure. You have a need to stay within your comfort zone. You don't like rejection. You recharge with other people, but sometimes it gets too much and you like to recharge on your own. Yeah. You struggle with imposter syndrome. There's a part in your life where you feel insecure. You procrastinate. You are very creative. You're a thinker. And I can go on and on and on. And if you're not aware of it, you think, oh my God, you just described me. But you know who else I've described?
Everyone.
Every human being on earth. And let me tell you why I share it with people and why it's very profound and very important. Because one, obviously, I don't want people to fall for this kind of charlatan behavior. But number two, I don't want people to blame themselves and to try and change something that can never be changed. If you try to change the fact that you have imposter syndrome or the fact that you have insecurity or the fact that you fear failure, you will absolutely be disappointed because that is part of being human. Wanting to change the fear of failure is like trying to change being hungry. Being hungry is not the problem. How I satiate it and how I express it is the difference between a good and bad. So the hunger is not the issue. How I express it, I can either go to McDonald's or eat something healthy. The hunger is not the issue, how I express it. Imposter syndrome is not the issue. How I express it is the difference between good or bad. Fear of failure is not the issue. How I express it is the difference between functional and dysfunctional. So once again, I call this the chin down versus the chin up approach, which I've mentioned on the show before. Mm-hmm. The chin down is poor me, why me, why me, why me? And the chin up is what can I do about it? How do I make my life better despite the way that I feel? So going back to these definitions are irrelevant. It's how you express it. It's what you do with it that makes you functional or dysfunctional.
Doc, that is so good. That's such good stuff. I have to admit, though, I'm always a chin-up person. I had 2 days this week where I was very chin-down and feeling sorry for myself. And I don't know what kind of made me snap out of it, because we all have something that kind of motivates us and pulls us up out of there. And I'm not particularly good at the standard motivations, other people telling you how great you are, any of that stuff. I think I started listening to some music, and music does that for me. And then suddenly I find myself going, actually, what the hell are you moaning about? You know, your life is good. You got these things working for you. You've got these people in your life. You've got this happening. What the hell's wrong with you? And then within moments, I'm back to the chin up stuff. But some people really struggle with that.
Yeah, for sure. And we're allowed to have these low moments. But again, as we've said many times on the show, your feelings are irrelevant. Your feelings are pathological lies. So as much as you think that those feelings, and you take a snapshot of it and you think this is you forever, they can shift within a split second. And one very quick thing that I advise my patients, if you want to shift your mood, your attitude, your feelings quickly, tap into your five senses. So smell, sight, taste, sound, touch, or whatever, the five, right? So in your case, the sound. Other people could be touch, for example, go and step under a cold shower. Other people, it's taste, go and grab something to eat. Other people, it's lower your body temperature. Other people, it's smell. Other people, it's sight, go and watch something. Go for a walk, go for a run, touch it.
Yeah, I just want to warn Leanne, that doesn't mean you just run up and touch people, all right? I know that's your thing. She's been arrested for this before. We don't want to get into trouble a second time. All right. I love it. Doc, thank you. To all the otroverts this morning, have an awesome, awesome day. And Dr. Hanan will be back to give us more wisdom in a short while. I love that. I love the trick he plays on the audience, and that everybody thinks it's about them. So fucking true,
right? You can do unique things in life, but you are seldom unique. Like, no one's really that special.
There is someone that special. Have you guys got those clips of that brilliant woman in the 80s? So there was a woman called Sylvia. She could communicate with the dead. I believe it. You don't have to. I can see skepticism going on here. Let me tell you, This woman, it's not so much that she was speaking to the dead that impresses me. It's how she dealt with people. Okay, play any of the clips, guys. I love all of them.
There's more than one.
So I've got three. They're short, but you've got to see how she, you know, in the 80s, like TV, it was tight. You had budgets. You had lots of people on cameras. You didn't have digital. They had to record it on fucking tape. Mm. And you have someone like Sylvia in there. You want to make it count. Plus, people are not there for a long time. They're not going to sit for hours and hours. They need to hear from Sylvia what the advice is, much like Dr. Hanan on our show. But listen to this. Just watch the excellent style of Sylvia. She doesn't give a damn.
Hi, Sylvia. I was diagnosed with severely scarred fallopian tubes. I went through four rounds of in vitro. I got pregnant with twins. I lost my son. My daughter, thank God, is still here at 29 weeks of abruption. I went through three more rounds of IVF with no success. Is there any way that a miracle could happen for me to get pregnant naturally?
No, you're going to have to adopt.
Oh. And you see her going, like, while the woman's talking about her fallopian tube, she's like,
yeah.
She didn't give a shit. I think Sylvia's probably not around anymore. Maybe we can communicate with her.
No, she's not. You have to adopt her.
She's so great, right? You want to see more?
Yes.
This is the greatest thing. I'm now getting like, because I've watched three or four of these, now I'm getting five or six a day. Can't get enough. Here's some more.
When I was younger, I had this dream when I was about six or seven, and it felt so real. Till this day, I remember every single moment of that dream. Can you tell me anything about it?
Yeah, can you tell me the dream, honey? Because I can't read your mind.
It was about my grandfather, and I was sitting on his lap in the corner of the couch. And basically, it just felt so real. I woke up, like, feeling him, like, that it was him. And that, I just wanted to know.
No, what you were doing was, you were astrally projecting to going over and, you know, having him close to you. See, what you were doing was you were going back in time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Obviously.
And then, you know, these people, they obviously told not to ask a follow-up question.
Yes, you get the one.
That you got your question, now sit down, all right? Enough. She's like, I had this dream about my grandfather. But Sylvia, it helps that she smoked like seven packs a day, you know?
And wears hectic eyeliner.
Yeah,
it looks like a skeleton almost.
She's great. I love her. Okay, here's one more because you deserve it on a Friday. You give yourself a treat.
Hi, Sylvia. My name is Hesna, and I'm about 18 years ago, my father went on a business trip and never returned.
Oh, nice.
The day that he was supposed to come, he called and never came. My family searched high and low, no results. So I just want to know if he's dead or alive.
No, he's alive in Florida.
Does that make sense?
No, but thank you.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. You know, that's like going out for a pack of cigarettes and not coming back.
Mm-hmm. We have another question out there?
Yeah, who else? Way up top here. Hold on.
There's something to this because people...
That woman would have acted exactly the same. She said, yeah. He's alive in Massachusetts.
No, but she goes...
He's alive in Florida.
And she goes, oh... And she starts crying, and the guy, Montel, the host of the show, asks this woman, like, does that make sense? She goes, no, but she just starts crying. I love it. And there is something to be said for, let's not get into too much of your feelings here, you know? Here's Sylvia's advice, take it or leave it. If you want to cry, good TV, but, like, we got to move on. And Sylvia's like,
yeah, it's like when you go back to the shop for a packet of cigarettes, you don't come back for 18 years.
But she's just told the woman her father's alive
her.
In Florida.
I believe her.
She's great, right?
There's nothing to knock about that story.
Isn't she wonderful? I knew you needed to see Sylvia this morning.
Can we dress Leanne up like that on a Friday and just take some really random questions?
Yeah, you know, we could make a lot of money, hey? Talking about the greatest show on earth.
Hi, Leanne. My mother says I'm adopted, but I don't believe her. What's the answer?
Go on, try it.
Wait, what was the question?
No, I'm just saying, okay.
do a little test run. Here we go.
Okay, so picture me as
you must be sad.
As like a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Hi, Leanne. My mother said I'm adopted, but I don't really believe her. Is she telling the truth?
Of course you're adopted.
Do you look like your brothers and sisters? Come on. Anyone could tell. All right, next question.
I love this. I think this is a great idea.
We just line up people in that couch there.
Well, come on. I don't want to be horrible here, but why do you think so many of these charismatic churches are doing so well? Because they do this kind of thing. They have
the woman from Long Island.
They have someone who's a prophet. Prophet in inverted commas. They call themselves prophet, right? And then they sit there and they go, you are going to have great financial success. And people are passing out and being filled with the Holy Spirit and all kinds of other stuff. It's not that different to Sylvia. Sylvia was just better at it.
But take everything what Dr. Kanan said as well. It's just that you can relate. It's like, that's why Twilight was such a good thing, because it touched on every fucking useless child out there. It's like, Bella's me, or I'm the werewolf. It's
right.
Like, yeah, oh, there's characteristics.
All right. I found the cutest kid. The parents are taking this kid out for sushi. And I promise you, we're not just going to play clips. I've got lots of other stuff for us to do too. But you got to see this, because this made me smile. This kid is so concerned when they flambé the sushi. They like pour stuff over and light it. Mm-hmm. And listen to what the kid says.
You'll kill us! You will kill us!
You will calm down.
Daddy
said also to you, who will kill you?
Thank you. Tiba, you're so tormented.
She's like, these people are crazy.
You will kill us. I love that kid. So I thought that would make your day as well, as if you didn't have enough.
10 years later, she's not Sylvia where the dad is. After packing her cigarettes, never came back again.
Sylvia and my dad, we had the sushi, and then Sylvia. Haven't seen him since. All right, so apparently we were talking about iPhone just now, and the new one is out, and Leanne doesn't care because she thinks it's a stove when she sees the ads. Also, I mean, that could have something to do with how advertising is just sometimes really fucking complicated. Yeah. But before we get into sport and all the rest of it, I do think that this is an interesting story. Apparently, you can now use your iPhone to read laundry care labels instantly. I still don't know. I don't know if anybody else has problems with this. I don't do washing all that often because I don't know how to. All my clothes would shrink and I'd have to wear shit like this every day because it's the only thing
in
the cupboard.
What is that, by the way?
It's my Zorro outfit, according to the audience.
Not knocking it. It's just it's very cavalier.
I know. You know what? It was there in the cupboard, Ben.
Nice.
Hadn't been worn. I thought, yeah, let's do that.
Did you consider tying a bow in it, though, or just...
Should I have tied a bow? What do you do with this, Leanne?
No, I don't know.
What do you do with the strings?
I have no idea.
Am I meant to tie them?
If it's a corset, then yes, but I don't know.
I don't know. My titties don't need any help. All right, let's get into it. So iPhone can help you. Now, I know that this is useful. Did you use it in Thailand at all to translate stuff for you?
I had guides, Gareth. I did not want for anything in this trip.
You had people.
People were doing all these things.
You had people.
That was amazing.
To do your washing, and you're confused, and you don't want your shit to shrink, or you shouldn't wash it in warm water or cold water or whatever the fuck it is. How does it all work?
Hot.
You just take a picture?
Shrink.
So I'm trying to see if I have
an example.
A label somewhere. Mm. But because I wanted to try it out. So you open your iPhone's camera app.
Right.
And you take a clear photo of the label. Make sure the symbols are well lit, visible.
Mine just says made in China.
In focus.
That is definitely made in China.
Doesn't have anything else.
And then you don't need to use any special camera or mode or setting. The standard photo works well for capturing laundry labels.
Yeah.
And then you open the Photos app.
Right.
Find the photo you took and then tap the eye or information button at the bottom of the screen. Visual lookup will detect that it's laundry symbols.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the information icon has now changed to show a washing machine symbol. I didn't know this, with sparkles around it.
Good Lord.
If you don't see the washing machine symbol, then you just try with another photo. And then you tap look up laundry care to see comprehensive labels and explanations.
Well, I'll tell you
what. And then you can even reference it for future.
You're going to save a lot of people a lot of time because those things, those symbols they
use. I'm not intimidated by those.
Are you not?
No.
To me, I'd rather deal with the periodic table than that.
No, you know what?
There are thousands of them.
you know, when girls had to do home economics for 2 years.
Oh, you learned them.
Yeah, they teach okay. you. Also, well, brownies. Brownies taught me a lot of shit.
We never had home economics. We had woodwork, which was obviously very helpful to me.
I'm just going through this thing on my garment that I'm wearing.
Yes.
Jeepers, this thing is like asking for a fucking chaperone.
Yeah.
Cold hand wash, wash inside out, dark color separately, get it. Bleach, don't bleach, get it.
Yeah.
Do not soak or wring, do not tumble dry, dry flat and reshape.
Whilst
damp in shade, cool iron on reverse side, do not hang and store flat. Dry clean, low temp. Jeepers, do you want to fucking...
I think it was the Dalai Lama's robe.
Do you want to grease down a shiatsu while you're at it?
Yeah.
How long have you had that top for?
Like a year.
Yeah.
Well, it seems in good,
I'm surprised,
good condition.
It's very demanding.
Very demanding.
I caught it in the wash and put on the hanger.
Good heavens. We should get Sylvia to try and tell its future for us. Here's a really important story in the news this morning. Several male adult film stars, including someone called Dallas Steele,
are finally getting equal pay.
See if you can look up Dallas Steele. I don't know who these people are, so we need to know who they are.
Are they getting equal pay, Gareth?
No, this is even more important. No equal pay. Obviously, the women earn more. There's more demand. Supply and demand, Ben.
That's not how it works in sport.
These guys, Dallas Steele, chief among them, have revealed that they are all getting penile implants.
Nice.
So, you know, guys perpetually on planet Earth are concerned about whether they're too big, too small. Well, not really too big. They're always worried if they're too small. And if you're a porn star, obviously that is the primary concern.
Yeah.
Dallas Steele he's 53 years old.
Oh.
Born in 71.
My God. Well, there's hope then for all of us.
Look, he looks pretty good for a 53-year-old. But
show us a picture. Put a picture of him up there.
His job is to lay cable. He should be in good nick.
Okay. So anyway, depending on whether or not you've maybe had the same kind of insecurities that Dallas Steele admits to here, surgically inserted – oh, my God. surgically inserted. Why do male porn stars always look the same? They all look like that, right?
Look, I don't watch
that's
a lot.
That's exactly what you'd expect, and that's the same as the kind of oaks who go to certain gyms.
That tattoo here.
Yeah, it's the tattoo.
His Instagram is @daddy_DallasSteele.
Oh wow, Leanne, are you following? Were you following him already? Weren't you?
No, it's a second.
Lies,
it
Leanne.
Came up second on.
She
on
Leanne's
Google.
Favorite male porn star is Dallas Steele. That's why she looked him up so quickly.
Why you guys are knocking him? I mean, this guy could either be working construction or he could be.
No, sure. But listen, this
woman.
Is the important thing, Ben. They insert a surgical device that allows you to control the size and duration of your erection, and they're becoming an open secret in the porn industry. These implants are often used with drugs like Cavaject. Oh, it sounds horrible.
Well, that's the stuff I found in James's bag the other day.
Oh. helps.
I was trying to get an iPhone charger, and I found some of that.
He said it was vet medication for his dog.
Cavaject, which helps sustain erections for scenes, loses effectiveness if you use it for too long. So apparently, these guys are now getting these implants into the penis to make it stay hard forever.
Well, it makes total sense to me. I mean, if that's your work instrument.
Performance-enhancing objects, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
While the surgery involves significant risks and downtime, performers say it can
downtime,
and it can extend their careers. Leanne Steele notes his only regret was not getting it sooner. So I suppose if you're one of those guys who's like nervous about this stuff, maybe you should look into this Cavaject and then the penile implant.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, his way of making money is by using his penis towards women.
Sure.
He can't just suddenly get another job and they go, right, Dallas, we need those files to be done over there. He's like, well, I could do that, or I could just ram you from behind for like 10 to 12 minutes. He's like, Dallas, that's not quite the job here. Like, well, that's my skill set. So he has to stay in porn. So therefore, he has to get the implants.
I mean, I do think that there are much more limited options for you. He's 53? Okay, so if you're a 53-year-old porn star, maybe there's not that much work.
No, but also, I mean,
is it like Hollywood, where the men have a longer lifespan than the women in movies?
They would.
But he's had to also do it. I mean, by the time you get to 53 as a man, you're probably going to have some issues.
Yeah, like in the nature, bedroom anyway. Nature isn't suggesting you should still be pounding frivolously. Because nature suggests, like, look, you need to be reproductive, you need to reproduce. And you haven't got that done by 50. We're not giving you strength of Sauron here in your loins, because you should be tapped out by now. The game's over.
He wouldn't be working if he didn't have that.
Well, I have exciting things for you coming up in the show this morning. You know, Leanne, you might want to hang around for Roger Rax, who is a South African content creator. He's a father. He's a business promoter. He's from the South.
Is it?
And he's got the best South accent I've ever heard. So he's going to be here. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the event that we discussed last year. It's called Luxurious Marble Circus, which our friend Greg is doing. But this is, they're taking it up a level, and I thought it would be interesting to find out. Plus, it gives me an opportunity to have the great chef David Higgs in the studio, who, of course, is the guy behind Marble and Saint and so many other amazing places in Joburg.
James has been working hard this week, huh?
Yeah, so we got lots of guests coming in this morning.
Taking the direction.
Since you've been taking that Cavaject stuff, James, you've really improved. Huh?
He's working hard.
Yeah, you're working.
Flex is sweating right now.
Any more puns on
Flex? There's so many.
Flex has pushed his chair so close to the wall suddenly. It's so awkward looking at him.
Flex, just watch James with those pills, eh? Oh, before you go, because I know you probably do have to go, and you might not be able to stay for the South.
Yeah, Leanne, she got a job.
Yeah, you got a job. But I do want you to try and translate this for us. So there's an Irish farmer that was interviewed, and I can't make hair tail of it.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought you'd maybe help us to try and understand him. But here he is. Just try and translate this for us. Leanne will do this. If anyone can, it's her.
Yeah, go on. So do you want to tell us your name and where you're from?
David Orhoff from Lamford.
Come on, David, and you're here for the day at the ploughing?
Aye, just today.
And have you seen anything interesting so far?
We're looking at a bit of sheep runs and that, decent enough now.
Yeah, and are you farming at home yourself?
Yeah.
What type of enterprise are you farming?
We have Lock and Sucklers and yours.
How's the sheep farming going this year?
It's not too bad, and good money for them, but awkward enough to get them right as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose, are you planning on taking over the farm in a couple of years' time, or...?
It's only a small acres, 17 acres that we have, so that'll be the hope, but sure, not much in it all the same.
Yeah, you see where it goes. Yeah.
I understood him perfectly.
You got it?
Yeah.
You knew exactly what he was talking about?
Yeah, yes. He said he was a farmer.
Yeah, but come on.
Oh, he said...
17 acres.
Oh, that was 17. Right at the end. No, he started with his name, which I didn't get his name, but
David.
I don't get many people's names.
David?
Maybe.
Okay.
And he said,
this
are
is going
you
well.
From this area or are you here just He's today? From... He said, no, I'm here just today.
Mm.
And he said, what have you enjoyed today? He said, oh, he's watched a lot of the sheep runs and he found them really interesting. And
you could be making this up, but I wouldn't.
But I'm
know.
Not making it
no,
up.
And then
he said, obviously, you know, you're a farmer yourself and you've got sheep. He said, yes. He said, what type? And he mentioned two breeds of sheep. One was called yours, I think, but I'm not familiar with sheep breeds.
Yes.
Okay? I just know they're delicious. And then he said, what about your farm? He said, oh, I've got 17 acres. He said, do you hope to inherit it one day? He said, look, it's a lot of farm to inherit, but we can only hope.
So that's amazing.
So the way I took it is that...
Unless I made it up, I don't know.
No, so like very close. But then when they asked him if you're going to take it over, he was like, well, it's only a small farm, it's 17 acres.
Right.
You know, maybe he's got bigger aspirations for something much larger, much like his hairstyle suggests.
Yes.
This is a man with big ambition.
Okay.
He's and got then, big hair too.
Yeah, so that's what I took out of the last part there.
Such a popular thing from last week got huge amounts of feedback for us was the In My Factory woman in China.
She's great.
She's terrific, and people just love her. Can't get enough of her. And I do want to encourage anyone in the advertising and marketing game, really, there is a lesson to be learned from this kind of authenticity, right? So we've got another...
Fresh one.
Fresh one from In My Factory. With a little dance going on, I think she's upping her game. She's really tremendous. Take a look at this.
Left, left, right, right, go. Turn around, go, go, go. Ching, ching, bong, bong,
from those headlands to Gary Bucks, many old parts in my warehouse. They are very beautiful. Headlands hold many old parts, wells, cars in my warehouse. They are very beautiful and very complete. Left, left, right, right, go, turn around, go, go, go.
I do not know of a single ad campaign that competes with that.
No.
That's terrific. And really,
and
she
thinks those parts are beautiful.
She does. Beautiful. Yes, but they are. And they are completely.
They are. They are very complete.
She doesn't even know she's standing next to old engine blocks.
No.
She's just
She
dancing.
Loves it. And you know, people always say you have to have a passion for something, right? They always say that. Mm. Oh, I'm very passionate about whatever. This woman has passion for her engine factory. Phenomenal.
But she oscillates between warehouse and factory. I guess that just all depends on...
They're probably connected. I would imagine that they're both on some lot.
Well, a factory produces things, doesn't it? A warehouse
might Guangzhou
just
or wherever.
It, yeah. I want to see more of her warehouse.
Well, Ben, I'll send you the link because she's worth checking in with. I think she's terrific. All right, I do want to talk a little bit of sports, so let's get into that this morning. I got a comment earlier, Ben. Somebody complaining that we hadn't talked enough about the Buck game last week. In fact, we hadn't spoken about it at all.
Yeah, guys, I didn't even watch it. I was...
Yeah, you were in the sky.
I was in the sky at the time. I missed one of the best Buck games in quite some time. Leon, you're going to piss off?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Don't mind me.
Sylvia, just leaving.
Leon,
just... Gotta have a cigarette.
I'm going to go. Okay, well... Cigarette.
Bye, Leon. Yo, Gareth, I missed that game. It was I had a feeling.
She just walks out. She like grabs her stuff and fucks off.
Yeah, okay.
It's incredible.
Back to me.
Sorry. So back to the rugby.
So after we lost to Eden Park, I put a video out on Instagram, which reminded me that many people on this earth are actually retarded.
Yes.
Because it was very clear that the Bok team that we want to be the best isn't the best right now. And I said as much. We're just not that great. It's not as good as we think we are. But this Bok team is wonderful, and they will beat the All Blacks by 10 the next week. Okay, I made it very clear on this video. Very, very clear.
You did.
Rusty then rang the changes, different backline completely.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? They won. Mm. But like they hammered them. And that part I didn't quite see. The margin I didn't quite see. I knew the backlash was going to be quite something.
Mm.
Also, New Zealand got a toilet record at that place. But to beat, that was the All Blacks' biggest loss ever. We now hold both of their biggest losses. But also, I think like Rusty summed it up, this isn't a time to gloat because these folks once gave us 50 points on back-to-back matches. So let's keep that into perspective here. Wonderful result. Really fantastic. This Bok team, it absolutely, when I had that interview with Harry Jones here on The Bounce Show, he said, we've got all the players to win the next World Cup. Where we put them, how we put them into the thing, that's all to be decided. So the current iteration of Bok that we had going into Eden Park and the way they were playing just wasn't good enough. The shake-up, wow, just phenomenal. Follow
Excellent.
Me for more antagonistic rugby commentary.
Yeah, you're having a lot of arguments with people, which is good. Or people are choosing to argue with you.
Which is odd because they come with zero arguments. Like, you should really argue in this world if you know a few things, you have confidence, and you can listen. The last aspect's really, really important because there's no point having an argument if you've missed the original person's point, because then what you're doing is you're just talking shit.
There's no longevity. You're being so aggressive for a Friday.
Gareth, I'm very experienced at this kind of stuff, so I'm just laying it down because it's good to have guidelines.
It's so aggro. It's just so unnecessary. All right, let's talk about Premier League. Because you made such a fuss of it, I even wore a football shirt the other day.
Yeah, Premier League's really big this week because obviously Champions League started. The UEFA Champions League started this week.
Uh-huh.
So all the big teams, obviously not Man United, all the big teams trotted out and they got to play the big games. Liverpool, very nervy win against ATM, Atletico Madrid.
Okay.
It was very, very nervy. No doubt James popped extra pills on that day just to try to get up at the end. Arsenal, Man City, though, comfortable, casual wins, you know, just good teams, just going through the motions, getting it off there. So this weekend, we've got the Merseyside derby. So again, Liverpool take on Everton. It's not really a derby because Everton are toilet. But there is always like a little bit of chaos around that because Everton fans have got very low expectations for good reason. But this year, they've got a little bit of wind in their sails because English heartthrob Jack Grealish is playing for them. So Jack Grealish, he's on loan from Man City because he just never really got it right. I mean, sure, he won titles at Man City, but that's because Rodri and Kevin De Bruyne had the ball the whole time, not so much him.
Mm-hmm.
So Man City basically said, like, we don't really need the soak in his hairstyle anymore. So they gave him to Everton on a loan. And they said to Everton, like, yeah, have him, drinks quite a lot, not very smart, and if you want him, £50 million.
Wow.
And they were like, okay, we'll take him on loan, because that's what small clubs do. They very gratefully take good players in on loan.
Sure.
And how loan agreements work is that either the parent club says, just have him so that he's in, like, working order. We'll pay his salary and everything, but we want him to stay current. Or if he's a young talent, we want him to get experience, but not with us because we've got better players.
Right.
So they loan them out.
Right.
Or they do things where the accepting team,
it's like in ancient Rome, if you had a servant that you didn't need, or a slave, you would let your neighbor borrow them.
But you wanted them to stay working in working order or learn
sure,
new skills.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and, yeah, of course.
So Grealish has been turfed to Everton. And now Everton fans love him, okay? Because Everton actually won a couple of games so far. Sure, there's like 90% of the season to go. So it's all, the wheels are obviously going to fall off.
Yeah.
And then like one fan made a really funny comment this week. It's like, because one of the most famous things about going to Everton, which will tell you how great this place is buying the £6.50 blue donut.
What?
£6.50 for a blue donut.
Okay.
It's money here.
That's a hell of expensive donut.
In the
donut.
Fucking South, you can get a pie for £14. And these oaks are charging £6.50 for a blue donut.
That's so outrageous.
So one fan's like, how many blue donuts do we need to sell so we can keep Jack? And I'll tell you what, you need to sell 769,000 of these fucking things to try and pay for Jack Grealish. Which means that every time, so if you work the maths further, Everton's capacity at their home stadium is like 44,500 around there.
Yeah.
So if they want to buy Jack Grealish, basically every single person who goes to the ground needs to buy a donut for the whole season.
It's not going to happen. there's some guys that probably eat three or four in one sitting.
Guys,
but that's expensive.
This is Everton's peak right here. How many donuts can buy Jack Grealish?
I think that's a great economic matrix that you've built there. How many blue donuts?
Beautiful thing.
Helps people to understand. You know, it's like, for example, the McDonald's index they use all over the world. What does a Big Mac cost you in various countries? That's how you work out how expensive that country is. So I think you've just cracked a new way of figuring out how expensive players are.
I just think it would be so great if Jack Grealish stays as Everton player.
Mm.
All because of people's love for baked goods or whatever. What is it? Is it a donut? Is it donut
fried?
Yeah,
it's baked good. Yeah.
Okay.
Go with
so
it.
That game will be kicking off the Premier League this weekend, 1:30 Saturday, and then Burnley-Nottingham Forest at 4. So Nottingham Forest have got that sort of gruff Aussie Lebanese oak.
Yeah.
And just Postecino, whatever his name is. So he came in. He used to be a Spurs oak. Because he's a rough oak. He looks like he's changed tires his whole life, and suddenly he just like walked into a football field. So he's in there, and he's like the savior, blah, blah, blah. But they lost in the Carabao Cup this week to like some Welsh oaks. Swansea, yeah. I think it was.
Okay.
So yeah, you're going to hear this all the time. You know, he's a second season manager. He always wins a trophy with the second season. Like he won in Japan, and he won that UEFA knock-around league with Spurs. So yeah, he's going to see his ass at Nottingham Forest, I think, but he'll keep on this narrative. And then Brighton versus Spurs, big game, 4 o'clock, and then Man United versus Chelsea, 6:30. Man United fans, I'm sure you've already got other plans, but there's just these oaks. Their team buy high, sell low on the transfer markets, and they're just shite. So that'll be 6:30, very entertaining. And then the big game, the one everyone's going to be watching, including James, Sunday, Arsenal versus Man City, 5:30. Monstrous. It's so massive. But a bit of bad football news we need to touch on.
Yes.
A couple of weeks we went through the sort of ramifications around Bafana going to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And if they get docked the 3 points for fielding an ineligible player or not. And we said that there's been brown envelopes pushed around here and there.
Sure.
Danny's maybe doing his job. Patrice may be doing the right thing as the emperor of CAF.
Yes.
But FIFA, and then we thought the whole issue was behind us.
Sure.
Lesotho wasn't going to lodge a complaint. And we're going to keep those 3 points, which means that we'd be unassailable in Group C. But no, this week FIFA has actually said, fucking woe, we're actually going to investigate this now.
So what are the possible – does this mean we might not get to the World Cup?
So currently in Group C, how it works is – I did a whole breakdown on our social channels 2 weeks ago. So we're 3 points ahead of Benin with 2 games to go. So the fate is still in our hands, right?
And nobody knows Benin.
Well, they're chomping at the heels here.
Okay.
So Benin's got two games. We got two games. Benin could potentially get 6 points. We need to also get 6 points.
Okay.
So we're playing against Zimbabwe and Rwanda. So we should really beat these Oaks.
Yeah.
I mean, the one's an oppressive country in the middle of in a continent the size of the studio. Mm. And the other's Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Guys, come on. We can beat these Oaks. Let's not think that we have to have this. But if it doesn't go and we get those 3 points docked, it'll be such an absolute travesty. And people will obviously then have that as the excuse.
Well, that will be a good reason to invade Lesotho, if you ask me.
But Lesotho did nothing wrong here.
No, so, well, if they're the ones who brought this to FIFA's attention.
Look, Lesotho, I don't know if they did. I think maybe Benin did or Nigeria.
Just give me the reason. I mean, Mangosuthu Buthelezi once wanted to invade Lesotho.
Okay. Well, let's...
And God bless him. He's no longer with us, but we can do this in his memory.
Okay, well, then maybe that's a silver lining here. But we haven't got there just yet. It's just that FIFA said they're going to investigate. But, Oaks, what's to investigate? Bafana's already said, sorry, we fucked up. Okay,
yeah,
this
right.
I've got two yellow cards. So what are they investigating? Tell
they
us.
They want
yes,
more
no.
brown envelopes. That's what they want.
So two things can happen here. FIFA being FIFA, they're going to try fine us because they like money.
Right.
But precedent is set. Like, you take away the points because you feel the ineligible player. You lose the points you won from that game. Mm. It says in the rules. So... Brown envelope time again this weekend, guys. Sorry, but we don't quite know the answer. Either way, I don't think it's a big deal because we just beat Zim and Rwanda.
Yeah.
And then we threw.
Okay, so let's just focus on that then.
Let's
then we don't have to
that.
Invade Lesotho, which is also, you know, so, it's expensive.
Yeah, also.
And I don't have huge faith in our military, to be perfectly honest. I think Lesotho might just give us a hiding.
Yeah. Well, they'll hide in the mountains and attack from higher ground.
Right.
Historically, that's always how battles have been ambushed and won. But yeah, there is PSL football on this weekend as well. Sundowns are taking on Durban City in the big game for the weekend. That'll be at 8 o'clock. And then Flex's team, Orbit College, is taking on Gallants, also at 8. But yeah, otherwise, not the biggest sporting weekend. You know, obviously, next week is the Ryder Cup. So I'm not going to be here next Friday.
Right.
But, I'll tell you all about it when I get back. Rugby-wise, it's the Women's World Cup rugby.
Nah. Skip over Formula One. You wanted to say something about that?
Not really.
Okay, leave it.
But I want to say something about the Currie Cup.
Yes,
it's the Currie
sure.
Cup, it's the Currie Cup final this weekend. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the Lions are going to win in a very one-sided contest. The Lions are really good. They always they maintain a bit of a core. They're good on the small tournaments. They hammered Bullunt in the semis. Griquas are, yeah, they've played well. They definitely deserve to be in the final. But at Ellis Park, there's going to be one team in it. Going to be a great game of running rugby, though. 3 o'clock, Lions to lift the trophy again.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward.
That's pretty much it, guys. Rugby Championship is back, and it's a bit of a banana skin. Actually, you know what? That's disparaging. We've got a massive game coming up now against Argentina.
Right.
Mostly because they're playing Durban, and we should never play rugby in Durban, ever. Durban, you've lost the right. I'm sorry. You can do what you want, but you've lost the right to actually host the Springboks. They play terribly there. They got 50 points to the All Blacks. They lost to Ireland in that series.
You know, Durban is just, it's just deteriorated horribly. You guys have got, it's not all the people of Durban's fault. Some of it is, because some Durban people just, they're just not team players, but it's mostly the government there. Really, the place has just been hit by riots and natural disasters and turds in the ocean, and it's a disaster.
Not a great place.
People would rather go on holiday on the East Rand than go to Durban. That's how bad it's got.
I mean, look, the North and South Coast still has many, many good things to it. North Coast is great.
You have to go pretty far from Durban, though.
Yeah.
Further from Durban, the better.
Look, whatever it is, we don't play well there, but we have to beat Argentina because now every team in the Rugby Championship has won and lost the same amount of games. It is the most thrilling Rugby Championship of all time.
Yeah.
Ever, ever, ever in the history of that tournament. So we'll pick that up for next week again.
All right. While we get Roger in here, because I'm very excited to talk to him, I do want you to hear a song. Now, Gord Laws has been hard at work, believe it or not.
Always.
Gord has figured out there's this AI song thing that he's found. I think it's Suno or something. And he is now making songs. And because he's also a good lyricist and Gord is good at writing rhyme.
Yeah.
You know, he's a rapper and a whole lot of other things. He's written a song for us. So you're going to come back from the break with it. All right, well, then take the break. Let's get Roger settled in here, and then you can hear the song when we come back. The producers, always trying to change the way we do things.
Because James is very hard on you.
Yeah.